This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. Before I begin, I would like to request you to please put away your devices during the duration of the khutbah, not because of me or any of the khatibs, but because of the command of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that the one who is present for Jum'ah, fala, should not even be distracted by a little bit of the cotton or anything that's completely irrelevant on the ground. That should not even capture their attention. Their attention should be fully focused on listening to the khutbah and gaining the ajr from that. So I request you to follow that. Jazakumullahu khairan. I want to share with you today, a beautiful glimpse from the life of our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And there are many, many glimpses, many, many moments in his life that are worth exploring. And at every moment, there's a treasure trove of lessons that we can extract for ourselves. But I want to share with you one specific moment, and one specific lesson is what I would like to highlight from that story. Ibrahim alayhi salam has lived a life, at this point, the story that I'm sharing with you, at this point in his life, he is extremely old. He is, according to the Mufassirin, the scholars of tafsir and scholars of history, he is past 90 years old, even older according to some. And he has lived a life of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a life of hardship. إِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. When the Lord of Ibrahim tested him with many, many commands, many, many trials and difficulties, and each one of them he fulfilled completely, passed it with 100% grade, if you want to put it in those terms. After leading a life like that, after having been thrown in the fire as a young man, expelled from his city as a young man, going through hardships and adversities after adversities, not having a child for most of his life, finally having a child in Ismail, but then asked to leave that child in the desert as he's commanded to walk away. Then as the child grows up, then the command is to then sacrifice this child. And that test he passes as well. Now in the final stages of his life is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah tells him to build the Kaaba, to raise the foundations of the Kaaba. The foundations of the Kaaba were already there. He is tasked with the job of raising them into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, think about this for a minute, brothers and sisters. Here is a man who has spent his life worshipping Allah, serving Allah, and going through difficulty after difficulty. And here is the final chapter of his contribution. And in a way, extremely hard final chapter. If any of you have been to Mecca and experienced the baking sun of Mecca, you know how difficult it is to just sit in the haram when the sun is above you, let alone do something that is as hard as building a building, let alone doing that with no construction materials or modern equipment or any type of air conditioning. You're doing it in the desert. As an old man, he is tasked to do this. Ibrahim alayhi salam does not for a minute question, why is this task given to me? Haven't I done enough in life? Haven't I suffered enough? Haven't I been through enough that should be all that I need to do? To the contrary, he embraces it. And he sets about building and raising the foundation of the Kaaba with Ismail. I want to share with you a little bit of the history that goes into this, that is mentioned to us by our scholars of tafsir. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما حج آدم أربعين حجة من الهند إلى مكة على رجليه. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما says, as narrated by Ibn Kathir, Al-Baghawi, Tabari, and many others, that Adam عليه السلام made 40 Hajj to the place of where the Haram is today, to Mecca. 40 Hajj he made from the subcontinent Al-Hind to Mecca on his feet. What this is evidence of is that place of the Haram was a sacred place from the beginning of the earth. From beginning of time, that was a sacred place. And Adam alayhi salam would come and make tawaf and hajj to that spot. And this is a narration that we find in many books of history. Even in the Quran, when Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving his son and his wife Ibrahim, Ismail and Sarah, and he's walking away, he says, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Oh my Lord, I have left my family, my kids and their progeny, in this valley where nothing grows, next to your sacred house. And at that point, the house was not built yet. The area was sacred from the beginning of time. فَكَانَ مَوْضِعُ الْبَيْتِ خَالِيًا إِلَى زَمَنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Al-Baghawi mentions that area remained vacant, even though it was an area that was sacred, it remained vacant. ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ بَعْدَمَا وُلِدَ لَهُ إِسْمَعِيلُ وَإِسْحَاقُ بِبِنَاءِ بَيْتٍ يُذْكَرُ فِيهِ يُذْكَرُ فِيهِ اللَّهِ فَسَأَلَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يُبَيِّنَ لَهُ مَوْضِعَهُ. Al-Baghawi says, Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah after the birth of Ismail and Ishaq to build the Kaaba. And Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah, where is the place for this, that he wants to see where this place is. فقال Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, بعث الله تعالى صحابة على قدر الكعبة فجعلت تسير وإبراهيم يمشي في ظلها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a cloud in the shape of the Kaaba, and it would, it's going, and Ibrahim alayhi salam is walking in its shade until it arrives at the place where the Kaaba is. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam was called, and it was said to him, "Anibni ala dhilliha la tazid wa la tanqus," and the shadow of this cloud build the Kaaba. Don't make it any bigger or any smaller than this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel. فَقَدْ أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ جِبْرِيلَ لِيَدُلَّهُ عَلَى مَوْضِعِ الْبَيْتِ كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. Then Allah sent Jibreel to tell him exactly where the foundations are. And that is the mention in Surah Al-Hajj. Jibreel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim see the مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ, the place of the Kaaba. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam, as now he knows where to build it, he starts to raise the foundation. And he is involving his son Ismail in the process. In the narration of Ibn Kathir, Ibrahim alayhi salam asks the help of Ismail, who agrees. So, فَجَعَلَ إِسْمَعِيلُ يَأْتِي بِالْحِجَارَةِ وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ يَبْنِي. Ismail alayhi salam is bringing the rocks. And Ismail alayhi salam is bringing the rocks, and Ibrahim is using them to build the foundation and to raise the structure. And as they are doing this, وَهُمَا يَقُولَانِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. As Ismail is transferring the rocks from one place to the other, and Ibrahim is taking it and layering them into the shape of the house, they are saying, our Lord, accept from us. You are the one who sees all. You are the one who hears all, and you are the one who knows all. And then Ibn Kathir says, فَجَعَلَ يَبْنِيَانِ حَتَّى يَدُورَا حَوْلَ الْبَيْتِ. And they're building the structure, so they're going around the Kaaba to build it. They're going in circles to build the house. And as they're doing this, وَهُمَا يَقُولَانَ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. They continuously keep saying this statement, our Lord, accept from us. You are the one who hears, and you are the one who knows. And this is the point I want to share with you all today. From this little glimpse of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of the many, many amazing moments of his life, just this little glimpse of him putting the rocks, and I want you to try to imagine it, how it looks like, raising the foundations of this building. And as he is doing it, an old man, and as his son is helping him in the baking heat of Makkah to do this, they are not complaining. They are not complaining. They're not being ungrateful. They seize the opportunity, and they're grateful for the opportunity. And they say to Allah, O Allah, accept this from us. This acceptance, we're taught in the Sharia, we're taught in the books, that it means قَبُولُ لِلْعَمَلْ أَنْ يَرْضَاهُ. Allah is happy with the person who has done that action, and He gives them ajr, reward for their action. That is what acceptance of good deeds means. There's conditions to that. Ibn Qayyim, for example, lays out conditions, and these are things that are accepted and widely agreed upon. That number one, it has to be done on the basis of taqwa. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The foundation of our good deeds has to be piety. It has to be, number two, sincere. If it's not sincere, it is showing off and riya, and it's rejected. It has to be in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. A person might have good intentions, doing something that, you know, is a good thing, but if it's not in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it's not counted as a good deed. These are the preconditions for the acceptance of a deed. But what does it do to the person whose good deeds are accepted? What does that person look like? How do they talk? How do they act? What's their attitude? That question is what this ayah answers and gives a glimpse of. The attitude of the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted their good deeds is an attitude of gratitude. That's Ibrahim alayhi salam. Tasked with this difficult task, doesn't complain. Doesn't say, why me? People go through difficulties in life. Often they say, how bad this happened to me? I was a good person. I did everything right. How come this happened to me? I did everything right, oh God. That's not the attitude of gratitude. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us from the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The gratitude is, or the Ibrahim alayhi salam shows us that he doesn't take the good he's doing for granted. He's not taking it for granted. He's saying, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. He's asking Allah, oh Allah, accept this from us. Because taking it for granted would show a sign of arrogance, would show someone who has ujub, like they think too highly of themselves. They think they're special and important because they've done something good. That's a dangerous and a slippery slope. That's quite often the case today, especially today with social media. We are almost forced to share our private lives. We are forced to put them on display. We are forced to talk about our good stuff. In fact, quite often the measure of how good you are is how popular you are, how many likes you got, how many views you have on YouTube. That's actually a measure of a person's content, their goodness. To the contrary, in the Sharia, your measure of goodness isn't the number of likes, isn't the number of followers or views. It is actually this attitude that Ibrahim alayhi salam is personifying. That, oh Allah, accept this. I don't know if it will be accepted or not. I'm not good enough for to take this for granted. And if you don't accept it, oh Allah, none of this matters. Doesn't matter if this got lots of likes and lots of views. Doesn't matter if hundreds of thousands and millions come by this house to worship you. If you don't accept it, it doesn't matter. And that's the lesson for us, brothers and sisters. That's how we should treat every action we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it, frankly, it doesn't matter. It's not worth it. For us, this should be the thing we think about when we do something. When we get into an argumentative situation, When we are blessed with something, like as a community, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with the opportunity to expand, walhamdulillah. And we should, at that moment, not become enamored by ourselves. To the contrary, we should become humble and say, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Our Lord, accept this from us, because if you don't, this doesn't matter. We shouldn't become, a good should not cause evil, should not bring about divisions. It should bring about unity and people coming together. Because that gratitude is then expressed in that way, by coming together and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, brothers and sisters, is the lesson. Many beautiful lessons from the life of Ibrahim, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us one glimpse and shows us one little statement that He's saying. And that's all that we need to think about. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Our Lord, accept this from us. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa la amma ba'd. One of my teachers, she used to say that it's very easy to do good deeds, but it's very difficult to hold on to the ajr of your good deeds. That's a deep statement. I want you to think about it. Very easy to do a good deed by giving sadaqah, but very hard to maintain the reward of that sadaqah. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. A person may invalidate the reward of their good, their sadaqah, by reminding others of their generosity, by using the good as some sort of a leverage, by using it as some sort of street cred, as a way to boost their standing. If that is what good deeds are used for, لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم. You have invalidated the ajr. Invalidated it. That's a very scary proposition. So I leave you with that thought. The good that we do, brothers and sisters, let us not invalidate that. Let us hold on to the ajr, because every single good deed that we do, we will desperately need it on the Day of Judgment. And let us be humble, not arrogant, when we have done something good. And let us remember the example of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Even when he was making the greatest project, after living a life of all sacrifice, yet he is asking for acceptance. All of us are in way more need of that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement in our lives. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وصل على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أحينا على سنته ومتنا على ملته واحشرنا في زمرته واسقنا من حوضه يا رب العالمين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وأقيموا الصلاة.